Moncrief on News Talk.
And now for something a little bit different. We are going to be talking. We're kind of sticking with the tech, but moving on to something a little bit more serious. Would you create an AI chatbot to chat with your deceased loved one? Push notifications or not? Could this be good for a grieving process, or would it make things harder? Liz Gleeson is a clinical researcher and educator in the field of loss and grief, and a psychotherapist and grief specialist. And she joins me in studio. Liz, good afternoon.
Hi, Stephanie. Lovely to be here with you.
So I'm not sure if you've been across this story, this AI chatbot this woman has created. Now, this was decades ago before we got into ChatGPT and AI, but through text messages that she was having with her friend, she was able to program a computer to learn the language model and continue to talk to her, so that I guess she didn't have to process the loss of her friend. How do you feel about that as a concept?
You know, like anything when it comes to grief, it's so individual, and what can help one person can be totally detrimental to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would hate it. But I think what's really interesting is to look at the science behind grieving and what's happening to our grieving brains, our grieving bodies, and how this new technology might help that or hinder
it.
That. Exactly.
Yeah. And are people studying this, and what are they finding?
Yeah, there isn't a lot of research at all. It's like anecdotal is what's out there for now. But we do know, grief is in its infancy, really, when it comes to research, because people who are grieving are considered a vulnerable population. So ethically, there isn't a huge amount of research out there, you know, just on general grieving. But we do know from some of the neuroscientists, like, that grieving is very much a neurological process. Our brains don't learn by just information, being told someone has died. We learn by experience, by experiencing their loss again and again and again. You know, that way we think we see them in a crowd, and then we have that crushing reminder. Or we go to phone them and then we remember we can't. Or we turn down their road and then we remember they're not there anymore. They are the little things that help our brain process the reality that this person is gone.
And once we process the reality, is it sort of about, like, in general, people seem to be, if sadness and grief is a spectrum, it seems to be more intense for most people closer to the event of the loss, and it gets maybe less painful or less acute, or you sort of absorb it or you learn to live with it. But people, you don't seem as tearful. It doesn't have the same impact. You move on with your life, or you move forward with the grief. Is that the same for everybody? And if you're processing all these little moments, going to the phone, realizing you can't phone them, would that not suggest that once your brain fully metabolizes, oh, this person is gone, that you end up in a state of reality where you've accepted the reality that the person is gone, and therefore life is now worse forever?
Not necessarily. Like, you're so right. You've got so much wisdom, and we've spoken before. I don't know if you remember grief and loss. You've so much wisdom around the process. You know, when someone we love dies initially, we are for most of us, we can never say
everyone.
This is absolute for everyone.
Yes.
We're all so different. But most of us enter an acute stage of grief where, you know, it's intense. We experience everything through their absence. We live our lives through this lens of loss. And it's crushing. You know, it can be crushing. And bit by bit, as we learn to accept it's real and feel the pain of that, and learn to accept it's real and feel the pain of that, that's the process that's gradually making it real, making us integrate it, helping us to carry it a little bit easier.
So is there any argument for, I'm going to pretend this didn't happen, and I'm just not accepting this?
You know what? If that works for you, go for it. But I rarely see that working for anybody long term. It's not the way we process loss can be either adaptive or maladaptive. Mm-hmm. And I could do the same thing as you, and it's helpful for you, and it's not for me.
Okay.
It's never the thing we're doing. It's the why are we doing that thing
that
makes it helpful or not. And if something that you are doing is causing you continued suffering. I don't mean continued grieving, mm-hmm. but continued suffering and pain. It's probably maladaptive.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you're doing something that brings you comfort, that helps you feel the love of the loved one, your loved one, that brings you good memories, then that's probably adaptive, but it can work in different ways for people.
I'm always so frustrated when there isn't just one way of doing things, because I like to know that I'm doing things the right way. But for example, my husband and I had to clear out stuff from my mother's house because she was getting a room changed. Anyway, that's beside the story. And I was going through my old things and I found like birthday cards, Christmas cards from my dead grandmother. And instead, and my husband has also experienced grief and he finds great comfort in things from the past. And I was like, I wish I had never received this card. It's upsetting me now to look at it. I don't want to have it. And I said to my husband, I don't want us to give cards to each other, because then I'm going to feel I have to keep them. And then you're going to die. And I'm going to be left with this like landmine of memories. And I'd rather just not have to go through, like, you know, that idea of like, I wish he had no items, because if he died and I had to walk back into a house of items that he had, that would just be way too much. Whereas some people find comfort in it.
Yeah, you know, it's so complex. And I think grieving is obviously a healthy, normal process that none of us should try to avoid. However, walking into situations that continuously cause crushing grief mm-hmm. and ongoing suffering, do we need that? I don't think we do either. I think there's some sort of a healthy balance somewhere in the middle of that. You know, we don't necessarily need to keep causing ongoing pain. I know, you know, certainly in my life, I've got certain items that evoke a pain for me. And at a certain point, I decided it's been long enough that I don't need this anymore. I'm actually going to get rid of it, because I don't think there's going to be a day where I look at that and feel joy or warmth.
I suppose it's kind of similar to people visiting a grave. Like, if you're going there every day and every day it's re-traumatizing you, it's different to some people who go and eventually sort of enjoy going there and sharing their news and sitting by it. It's, I guess, that difference between adaptive and maladaptive.
Exactly. And for some people, visiting a grave every day can be can make them feel closer to their deceased loved one. It can set them up for the day. They can go and go to work. They can socialize. They can get on with their lives. And then for other people, it's absolutely tethering them to times gone by. Maybe they think they're letting their loved one down if they don't go every day. If they stop going to the grave, does that mean I don't love them anymore? What will people think? So it's all about the why, not the what.
And I guess back in a different era when we didn't have smartphones, moving on, you know, you were left with the physical belongings that people had, like the cards that your grandmother gave you. But I find now, and I'm not sure if you find this in your own work, that the tech, like people's digital memory, is so visceral. Like, you have probably an Instagram page, a Facebook page. I get memories pop up like every day. My phone is like, this time 7 years ago. And it's like, whoa, I'm not emotionally able for that memory right now. Like, please let me choose when I want to be. Mm. Are you seeing that technology and, you know, artificial intelligence is changing how we grieve?
It's certainly, there's like, grieving people are amongst the most vulnerable in the world, you know, and we are, if there's any promise of here's how you can connect with your loved one again, I think we take it because we're so vulnerable and we so desperately want to maintain that connection much of the time. And it's really fascinating because, like I said earlier, we have to go through a brain adaptation process, you know, in order to move through the grieving process. And I'm worried that AI is going to, you know, keep us in some other realm. It's not okay. going to let us adapt. And, you know, I suppose someday our ancestors said, oh my God, video, what the hell is that horrible thing? What fresh hell is this? And seeing our loved ones on video, yet we get so much comfort out of video. There is the possibility that someday in the future, AI bots will be normal, you know? But, you know, you asked, is there ever a time where we don't process grief in a healthy, adaptive way? And we do know that for about 10% of the population, we can develop prolonged grief disorder. And that's where our grief goes so off track that we really can't live our lives in any full way. You and I both know that when someone we love dies, we miss them forever. We will always have grief when it's maybe their birthday or their anniversary. That's normal. That's part of, you know, loving someone and being a full human being. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really having difficulty engaging in life, looking forward to anything, having social relationships. And for a lot of people, they haven't fully accepted that this is real, that this person has died. They've chosen not to let that in. Mm-hmm. And I'd be worried with AI that that would maybe increase the amount of cases of prolonged grief disorder.
We have a few texts coming in on this. And if you have a text, you can WhatsApp us 087-1400-106. Someone says, I haven't lost anyone in my closest circle, but I genuinely fear the day that one of them is no longer here. Is that weird? Is that a strange, presumptive grief? Well, I suppose you know it's going to happen.
Well, it's anticipatory grief, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But we don't normally go through that when everybody's alive and well. But I think it's just this intense love we have, an attachment, and probably a little bit of fear in there as well, that someday we are going to lose absolutely everybody that we love, because either they will die or we will. That's actually a lovely message from that person. It's like,
oh yeah, from that person.
You're going to live your whole, you're going to live knowing that life is short and your relationships will probably be closer and more compassionate and, not taking everybody for granted.
We have another WhatsApp here. My husband died suddenly 9 months ago and I still can't come to terms with it and I can't change anything at the moment. I suppose 9 months is still very, very soon, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss to that listener. And 9 months, when somebody dies suddenly and unexpectedly, or even if it's anticipated, maybe it's out of time, maybe we didn't see it coming. It's so shocking. And it does take so long to adapt to that. What I would say to anyone listening, and there's no absolutes in terms of advice or you should do this or should do that, but for most people, we do know that grief needs to be expressed in some way, mm-hmm. whether it's talking or writing or being sweated in yoga or through running. Like, find something, some way to move your body, to move your emotions, not to stay static in it. That will help you in the long run. But, this is a long-term project. You don't get over grief suddenly, especially when it's your spouse, someone you love dearly. It's going to take time to adapt and learn how to integrate this grief and carry it.
Yeah, we have a text from Shane in Cork that said, my mother died in 2015 and my father in 21. I have found that I have written a lot of pieces about them, which I have found positive and allowed me to even understand them more. It's kind of what you're saying about there, find different ways to process it. Yeah. Slightly off topic, but a friend of mine went to the ABBA concert in London, which is a hologram concert. And even though some members are just not physically present, dead, whatever the situation is, she said it was unbelievable. Like, her brain couldn't process the fact that, like, these were not real humans. And she now, like, her body has a memory of, like, meeting and seeing ABBA, even though that isn't possible and didn't happen. If we move to a stage where it's not just about looking at videos of them that you've recorded or rereading text messages, if we get to a stage where we actually don't have to lose somebody, is that better or is that making the grief process worse?
We will never, ever, ever get to that stage, because a hologram is not a person. They are not your loved one. They never will be. They never can be.
Okay.
We will never get there. We have to look at the ethics of this as well. Would you want to be a hologram 10 years after your death?
If it was stopping someone from having, it's like, I guess I'm imagining it like my daughter likes to go to sleep with me saying shh, shh, shh. So I just record myself saying shh, shh, shh. I know it's not the real thing, but she doesn't know that. And so it stops her being upset and that's fine.
Yeah.
So if there was a hologram of me, which, was to comfort her if I wasn't there.
Well, we live in a death denying culture, and I certainly do. that's absolutely contributing to that. But the reality is, no AI, whether it's a bot or a hologram or whatever it could be, will ever replace the flesh and blood and, emotional, intellectual, spiritual being of the people we love.
Hear, hear. No, you are right. Thank you so much, Liz. If people want to hear more from you, Where can they get more from you?
Oh, super. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, I have a podcast called Shapes of Grief, which is on shapesofgrief.com. And I also have a training program for anybody who'd like to learn more about grief and loss, the different types of grief, the different types of loss, and really, you know, deep dive into this big, broad subject.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Liz.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.